You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
What's up, folks? Thanks for tuning in to the JRE Review. Today is episode 1305, JD and John Witherspoon. John Witherspoon is a legend. If you're into comedy, or, I mean, you might remember him from, like, the Friday movie. Yeah. And he was just kind of in all kinds of stuff. But he's so funny. He's just got this kind of attitude and energy about him that is just hilarious. Joe was cracking up, like, the whole podcast. This is honestly is one of the funniest JREs I had ever heard. It was so enjoyable, and he's such a character. Today I'm with my buddy Garrett again.
What's up?
And yeah, let's start the review.
Welcome to the Joe Rogan Experience Review, where each week I review every single episode of the Joe Rogan Experience. What more do you want?
So yeah, this guy, John, he was on with his son, JD. JD is a stand-up as well, and is always performing at the Comedy Store, and that's how he mentioned that he was John Witherspoon's kid, and Joe was like, I love him, he would get you guys on, and did not disappoint. One of the best parts was towards the end when they were suggesting to him, why don't you do a podcast, right? Because this guy is so funny. He really should do a podcast. Great way for him to promote his shows and get people there and all the rest of it. And he was like, what the hell is a podcast? And they had to tell him, you're on one. This is what we're doing now. And that just cracks me up. This guy was just in another.
I'm curious if that's like a generational thing. I'm just thinking about that right now. Like this, like, I don't like, don't give a fuck, but it's not like don't give a fuck, like, in a bad way. It's just like, that's who I am. Like, that his character is just, that's who he is.
I think he just does him, and he's not asking a lot of questions.
Right.
He just shows up, does it, gets on with it. Like, he even talks about, because he kept talking about his money, his paper, right. And he loves calling the bank. So he calls them, puts his social security number in, and then they tell him what his balance is. He doesn't even know how to use the app on the, like, he's as old school as
I mean,
gets.
Yeah, he's probably got a flip phone or something.
Yeah, he's not a young guy, I mean, obviously, but, you know, it's not just the age thing. Right. Like, there's plenty of grandpas out there that have figured out their iPhone and know what a podcast
is. Right.
But, you know, this is what makes him him. It's not an act. Like, the only time I've ever seen him before is in shows and his stand-up.
Did you hear him say he has a stand-up special that he just didn't release?
Yeah, he didn't release it. Why? Because he's too...
He said, I didn't like my belly.
That's it. He thinks he's too fat. He's hilarious. He's hilarious. And slamming down, what, a bottle of wine a day.
He's like, a glass or two? He's like, what glass?
His son does a funny thing with him where he have him like watch fights or watch like the UFC, and he's like describing it, right? But he's coming at it from such an interesting angle. One thing he said he did, his son JD has a gamer channel, and he had his dad on that, I guess it's like a podcast or something on YouTube, and he had his dad describing the fatalities in Mortal Kombat. And just the commentary of this guy who's like never seen these video games, it just sounded hilarious.
Speaking of, I gotta watch that guy. He said he had a cooking show too. Remember when he said that?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, what do I cooking for poor people? And he's like, anything tastes good when you're poor. He's like, chicken feet.
Chicken feet. Have you ever had chicken feet?
No, but he was, I mean, think about how fucking tough that meat's gotta be.
I bought some and like boiled it into like is it like a stock or a broth?
I guess in Thailand and like other like Asia, I think the way that he was describing it was that it's very popular out there.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, there's a lot of collagen in it when you're making good broth, but it looks fucking disgusting.
Sounds gnarly.
They were gross. I can't imagine somebody just eating
the thing that you walk around on, all kinds of shit all day. That's fucking wild.
Chicken feet. They just like ate like lit like dinosaur claws. You're like, what the hell? There's better things to eat, people.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm not a connoisseur, but I mean, I'm not opposed to trying anything once.
I love this story when he's when he moved from Detroit. So he's originally from Detroit and then got into stand-up because he wanted to make some money, which is an odd thing to get into stand-up for.
He said he was a model first, I think.
Something, right? He was doing some modeling.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I guess, way back in the day, they didn't mind short models. I don't know how tall he is, but anyway, maybe he just looked good.
He said the reason he went to modeling, I think it's so good, just totally goes along with his personality. He's like, I saw a guy in a magazine, and he's like, I'm prettier than that guy.
I'm prettier than that guy.
I'll go be a model. I was like, motherfucker, that's a great way to look at it.
Why not? That's hilarious. So on his way to L.A., he stops in Las Vegas, right? I don't know why he did that, but why not, right? You're driving through. And then he gambles all his money away,
like
loses everything.
Like 15 G's or something, wasn't
something,
it?
Yeah, okay. A lot of money. Which,
but then he hit the jackpot or something the next day, didn't he? He hit like some jackpot.
Something. He made a lot of money on one jackpot. Was that when he left again?
That's kind of, I don't know for a fact. I remember him talking about that. I think that might have been, I feel like he lost it all and then got it all. Either way, fucking ups and downs, huh?
But he was there for 6 months.
Right.
Kind of stuck.
He said he slept on his, like, girl's couch for, like, a month or something like that.
So, right. And his car's just, burning oil. Constantly burning oil.
Have to put a fucking liter of oil in there.
Probably learned a lot during that time.
Oh, boy.
That's probably a huge, development thing. And then he gets to L.A. He goes to the Comedy Store, which is really where you want to go back in the day. And this was the beginning of the Comedy Store. So he knew Mitzi really well. He knew a lot of the newest guys. And he became the security guy there, which is, this, you know, a lot of guys have worked up
that way. I think
he
said him and Letterman did something, didn't he? I can't remember. I think he said him and Letterman were like the hosts of the Comedy Store initially.
Is that right? Letterman? Okay.
I believe so.
Yeah, he was like this when Letterman had no money. And Letterman was there a lot, too. I mean, it's crazy to think how many people have really gone on to do pretty awesome things from being at the Comedy Store.
Right.
And even, you know, you just start at security, you get stage time. Ari Shaffir did that. That's when Joe first knew Ari is working security.
Right.
And I wonder how many people can still do that these days, because the Comedy Store has got big now, real big. And I think they have like a private security firm come in. I don't think those guys are like comics anymore.
Right.
Maybe some of them get into it when they're there long enough. But, yeah, they're just big dudes now.
Right.
But, you know, because it's just getting so big. So many days are selling out. So many shows are selling out.
What a great thing to get big, too, honestly. Not to be just make a general observation, but, I mean, what a great thing. I mean,
comedy.
Yeah. I mean, to have so many people want to do it. Like, I mean, everybody always wanted to be a professional basketball player. But like Joe talks about, he's like, no one's saying that whenever you're in high school. If you're the funny guy, a lot of the people aren't like, hey, you could be a comedian. But now that's starting to be something that you fucking would think about now.
Yeah. And there's different avenues for it. It's like so many people are doing it. They're going to come up with new ways to make it happen. The only thing that's a shame is there's not really more clubs than there used to be. And that's something that Joe talked about. There really isn't. So there's a lot more comics, same amount of clubs. And, you know, it's hard to get time. It's hard to get stage time.
Isn't there a lot of places with open mics, though? Isn't that part of the deal?
Yeah, open mics. But oftentimes you can go and they do kind of like a potluck thing where you just put your name down and they pick a certain amount. And when you've given up your night to go there to perform and to like keep honing your craft. And then you don't get on. It's like it's almost a big waste of time. And another thing that's frustrating, too, is at the beginning of the night, there's a ton of people there. But once they pick out of the hat, if you're not picked, a lot of those people leave right away, so the audience is almost nothing. And then, depending on when you go up, people are leaving after their time. So you can go up, and there's only, like, fucking five people left.
Do you run your jokes by your girl? Like, do you ever just have, like, a one-on-one? I wonder if Joe does that, or if comedians are doing that, too. Like, you got to say your shit out loud, obviously, because when you're writing it, but you got to say it out loud.
I write it. I try and find something funny, and what you want to do is just go perform it. That's it. That's the only way you're going to know.
Right.
You know, some of your friends could be like, oh, that's a good joke or whatever. But you have no idea until you get up on stage and you have to set it up.
Right.
You have to put it in the right spot.
Timing's
and
everything.
Of course, you know, you could have a really great line. But if it doesn't fit with like the other bits that you've put in or the energy of that moment isn't quite there, you could just lose it.
Right.
So, you know, you're always kind of working. And that's why you want to be up there as much as possible. Just, you know. That's just how you want to do it,
better,
for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Practice.
Yeah. One of the best things about Witherspoon's really is like his conversations and stories with the old comics, like Pryor. So right. He knew Pryor back in the day. How fucking awesome would that have been? Like, he got to hang out with him every Sunday.
He said Pryor was making $250K in like 79 for those shows.
Jesus.
You know how much dough that is?
That's, I mean, so
that's
much.
Such dough
is
now.
That,
but
is that four? How much do you think that's worth? Is that like a million
something
a show?
You would think.
In the 70s,
yeah,
right?
$250K in the 70s was fucking a lot of loot.
How much was like a Corvette in the 70s?
I don't know. I mean,
is it like 10 grand?
I was going to say probably 10, 20 grand.
Okay, so like six times different. Well, then, a quarter of a million would be
right?
Like a million a show.
I would think that would be probably appropriate.
That's unbelievable. And imagine just going over to Pryor's place, chilling out, having a laugh, being around like a great right. like that, who is also a total right. lunatic, probably right. doing fuck tons of blow. Just birds everywhere, unconscious in the house. It's like a level of rock
that,
star.
Completely.
Yeah, and the fact that he was just in Detroit, had no money, and then stuck in Vegas, and now he's at the Comedy Store right. doing this. Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. I really do hope that not only Witherspoon should come on again. He was a great guest. I hope he does. He should also definitely start a podcast.
Oh my God, that's what he was saying too. He was like, you were funny then, but there's certain people that are just timeless. Like, you'd be fucking funny now, just as funny as you were then. You know what
Dude,
I mean?
Dude, he
like,
could just talk about the weather.
Right.
He could just pick something.
Just talk, period.
Just like, talk. He could talk on his own.
Right, right.
He's such a character. And the fact that all he had to do was just be him on stage and not be afraid of it, and just the way he kind of puts together his sentences, it brilliant.
Right.
So unique.
Totally.
Really, really unique. But anyway, check out that conversation. It was funny as hell. If you smoke weed, smoke a bit, then listen to it. You'll be laughing your ass off. But you laugh anyway. He's a legend of comedy, and it was great to have him on. And you could tell Joe is a big fan and just loved it. Really got into it. So anyway, guys, thanks a lot. And Garrett, thanks for joining me, buddy.
Thank you, bud.